Well, you'll never guess who's back with another Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast.
Oh, you did guess it.
I mean, yeah, I guess it says who we are when you downloaded this thing, doesn't it? Welcome to the Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what we got done on our morning show on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave. This is my partner, my associate, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello, friend. And friends.
Yes.
All of us, collectively.
Mm-hmm. As a wise man once said.
This is for you.
It's for you.
Let's get into it with number one.
Number one.
Got another unnecessary prequel. When did this start, all the prequels? Because I have an idea when I think it started.
Well, I know they have... who's showing this? I don't know exactly which stream it is or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But now they're going to basically show you how The Godfather came about.
Well, The Godfather is about... That is on an, I think, Paramount.
Yeah.
And that is actually the story of the movie.
Right.
Not, like, The Godfather.
Right.
I mean, Godfather 2 is kind of a prequel and a sequel at the same time.
Exactly. But let's do that. Prequel, sequel. But yeah, no, this is about, hey, how did this even happen?
My theory is that this all started when they did Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid right again. Didn't they do like a prequel to show? Because Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid ends with them going out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
But it was such a successful movie, they had to try and do it again. So then they did like the early days of the Sundance Kid and Butch Cassidy.
Who was in that?
I want to say Tom Skerritt? No, I don't remember. You don't remember that being the
sequel? I remember the Apple Dumpling Gang rides again.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I mean, because they went out in a blaze of glory in the first one.
Butch Cassidy and Sundance, the early days. William Catt and Tom Berenger. That's who.
Was. Oh, brother.
Yeah. Not ideal. It was directed by Richard Lester, man. So it wasn't like it was, you know, it wasn't nothing. In the works at HBO Max now, It, the prequel series. Ooh. It's called Welcome to Derry, and it's going to begin in the 60s.
Good
in
morning.
The time leading up to the events of It Part 1. It will have the origin story of Pennywise the Clown. No one asked for this.
And what's Pennywise's gig again?
I mean, my understanding is, I haven't seen the movies, he's a clown that lives in the sewer.
Okay, but
and kills children, right?
But what happens? But you have to make your way into the sewer for him to get you?
Yeah, I think so.
How often does that happen?
Well, I mean, enough that they made 2 movies out of it. It Part 1 and It Part 2.
How much time as a kid did you spend in the sewers?
I would be lying if I said 0 minutes.
Okay. I stand corrected.
I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said I wasn't spending any time in the sewers as a kid.
Okay.
It Part 1 and It Part 2 made more than $1 billion at the box office.
Nice.
This thing was turned into a TV movie back in the 90s with your guy Tim Curry.
That's right?
He was the original Pennywise. And then they got this other guy as Pennywise, and now I guess we're going to learn the story of how he ended up being a clown that lives in the sewer. Again, I don't know who asked
for this. What, you think I'm a clown?
Do they explain that in the movies? Or it's just understood that there's an evil clown? I haven't seen the movie.
Well, he's a supernatural clown, isn't he?
He's not real.
Is that right?
Is he real?
I mean, is it just a guy?
It's, yeah, no, he has, like, magic powers,
yeah, I would
right?
think so, sure.
He doesn't, he, like, is some sort of personification of evil.
Like mind control or something?
Pennywise the Dancing Clown.
Dancing?
Yeah, he dances, I guess.
Like different dances? Twirl!
Now I'm going to do the Froog. Pennywise the Clown is an ancient transdimensional evil entity that preys upon the children of Derry, Maine. And I guess he comes out every 27 years. That's he weird. Uses a variety of powers that include the ability to shapeshift, manipulate reality, and go unnoticed by adults.
Oh, I see. So or I only, guess I don't see.
Only kids can see him. So we'll learn how he came to be in this prequel series coming soon to a streaming service near you.
I was a baby clown.
And then I turned into this transdimensional evil that would... Does he eat the kids, or it's just enough to kill them?
Taking the bite out of anybody isn't going to be good.
No, it's not ideal.
But he eats the kids?
I haven't seen... When the Tim Curry thing came out in 1990, I said, no thanks.
Why is that?
I don't like horror movies, man. That's not for me.
Whore?
Oh.
No, I just...
You whore?
Scared? No, horror.
Oh.
Horror.
Never cry over a horse. Never!
Horror. Horror. Movies I don't like. I mean, I'll watch a horror movie if it's got a compelling story. Or, you know, depending on who's in it. Sure, I could watch a... Yeah, that's not opposed to that, but I don't like scary movies, man. Yeah. Real life's terrifying enough. I don't need to get creeped out watching an entertainment.
Loneliest lady, sure.
Exactly. So, yeah, I haven't seen any of the It's. You haven't either.
I know of it, but as I've just revealed, not much.
Mm-hmm. Well, get ready for the It prequel series coming to HBO
And it's
going to
be called what?
Right now it's being called Welcome to Derry.
It's going
to
be called This Is It.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kenny Loggins.
Make no mistake where you are. Does Michael McDonald sing on that song?
Probably.
I mean, God, he got a lot of work back in the day. What if you did It and Michael McDonald was Pennywise the Clown?
I can see it.
I'd love that. Why don't you come on down to the sewer? I'm gonna eat your face off. I'm Pennywise the Clown. I'm a transdimensional monster. If that's the prequel, then HBO Max, you have my interest.
What song is that from?
Or
is that actually from an album?
Yes, it's from the movie. It. I don't know. I was just riffing.
Oh, you were making that up?
That was improvisation, Sam.
Oh, you laughing rat. Number two.
The National Football League.
Yes, give it to me.
Making some changes.
Break this down for us dummies.
Well, I don't know that I feel comfortable with that. I'm not trying to break anything down. I'm not going to give you any of
Put this on the whiteboard so I can understand it.
Okay. All right.
What do you want me to do, coach? I'm here for you.
The NFL is now requiring, one of the changes that they've announced here, they are now requiring teams to hire women or minorities as coaches for the upcoming season. This is now a requirement.
Football!
Okay, for assistant coaches we're talking about.
Yeah, new diversity and inclusion efforts for the upcoming season. All 32 teams are required to employ a female or member of an ethnic or racial minority as an offensive assistant. Why
does it have to be offense?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. It's got to be on the offense.
So defense
side.
And special teams doesn't count?
No, we're not letting them have that. Candidates must have at least 3 years of collegiate or professional experience in coaching football. Those people will receive a one-year contract with a salary and benefits.
What are you doing? Yeah, our special teams coach is a black woman. Doesn't count.
You get nothing for
nothing.
That.
Nothing. Forget it.
That doesn't count, and you know it.
No.
The rule that probably means more to you as a fan is the NFL owners voting to change the playoff overtime rules.
And that means what?
Well, there's not going to be any more of what happened to Josh Allen.
Playoffs? Yeah. Don't talk about playoffs.
Both sides.
Are you kidding me? Playoffs?
Both sides now are guaranteed to get the ball in overtime.
Okay, now let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that means... You score a touchdown.
Yeah.
You win the coin flip.
Yes.
You score a touchdown.
Yes.
I get a chance to score a touchdown.
Yes.
I score a touchdown.
Yes.
Okay, and then You get the ball back.
Yes.
And you score a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
I get another shot.
No.
Well, then what the hell's the difference?
Well, you at least get a chance.
What chance?
The league is changing the overtime rules to guarantee that each side gets the ball.
At least once?
Well, it's not just the coin toss determining things is their argument. Listen, you and I are in complete agreement about
this. If you get the ball twice and I only get it once, how is that any different?
The proposal was presented by the Indianapolis Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Just not, hello, I'm the Philadelphia Eagle.
Hello, I'm here by myself.
I'm up here in this tree.
And it's also crazy that this is only for the postseason.
Yeah, but
why wouldn't this be the overtime rules throughout the year?
Well, they don't want overtime games.
But they have them.
I understand that, but they want them to end as soon as possible because they don't want those players playing an extra period.
Well, why not just have it be the rule? If the idea is it's patently unfair to have a coin toss determine a game, I understand that a playoff weighs more than a regular season game,
mm-hmm.
but you can not get into the playoffs based on a win or a loss, yes? Don't tell me every game doesn't matter when you only play 17 of them. Beginning this season, if the team possessing the ball first in overtime scores a touchdown on that series,
yeah.
the opponent will still get a possession.
But
mm-hmm.
if I tie and then you score,
mm-hmm.
it's over?
Yes.
That's stupid. Why don't I get another chance?
Well, because then it goes on forever and ever.
No, it doesn't.
Well, the defenses would be so tired.
Well, we're talking about a playoff game where you have to have an end result that can't be a tie.
Listen, it's not like only one team is playing in overtime. Your defense is on the field. If your defense can't stop someone from scoring, I think this is an unnecessary
Then you could basically leave it as it is.
Yeah,
then.
That's what I would do. There's no reason to change the rules. But they're doing it because everybody complained about that Chiefs Bills playoff game, the AFC Championship. In recent seasons, a touchdown ends the game. The second possession of overtime would extend beyond the initial 15-minute period if needed. Should that team tie the game, it would then become sudden death.
Now, what do you think about this idea?
Mm-hmm.
If you have the road team, there is no coin flip, but the road team determines whether or not they want to play defense or offense, okay? You following me?
Yeah.
And then if you choose to play defense and the other team doesn't score, you win.
Oh, so
and all they have to do is get a field goal. But if you hold them to nothing,
you win.
You win. But if you choose to
how do you win? How do you? What's the score of the game?
Well,
there has to be a score for there to be a winner.
I suppose there does.
One team has to have more points, Darren.
You get it. You get 1 point for stopping them.
No, that's ridiculous. There was nothing wrong with the rules as they were written. This is an unnecessary change. In this reporter's opinion, in my opinion, this is unnecessary.
Football, catch the fever.
This was a pretty.
I don't get the ball back if you score a second rule
change. You need 24 owners to vote to change a rule. And they won't say exactly how many owners voted for it, but they will say that it was well beyond the required 24 votes. So at least a couple of owners said, no, keep it as is.
Hello, I'm the Philadelphia Eagle.
Hello, my name is Todd. I'm the Philadelphia Eagle, and I'm here with some, I think, opinions.
And suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know who's got an opinion on the overtime change in the playoffs? As well as the other big story of the day.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Delaware. Hey, Twitter world is yours truly. I just had to run to a quiet spot. I'm here on that other coast. It is beautiful.
You know,
now, I got here thinking spring break.
He's,
what the hell are you doing in spring break? You're 80 years old.
He's doing spring break.
It's essential that you're at spring break when you're 80.
Damn!
I know.
He's on that other coast. Where I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
Where is OJ doing his spring break? He's on that other coast. That's your clue, okay?
Uh-huh.
30 seconds on the clock. Where is OJ spring breaking right now? On that other coast.
My guess is that he's in godforsaken Florida.
No.
No?
You got the right coast, but the wrong state.
Is he in the Carolinas?
Oh, that would make sense. No.
No?
No, not in the Carolinas.
Huh.
Juice. Spring break. On that other coast. I'll give you one last guess. No, it's, time is up.
Your time is up.
He's spring breaking in Delaware.
Huh.
Delaware.
Huh.
And I guess he thought, well, I'll let him explain here. He thought that he was going to not have to deal with so many people. But as you can tell, it's packed. He's doing this video at a bar. It's him, and there's like two other people. It's like an outside patio space.
There's two other people, but let me move over here.
There's two other people and like 500 empty seats. But he's got it right by the speaker.
Let me move over here where I can hear.
Was over and I would come and get behind it, but right. Evidently places like Delaware, University of Delaware and stuff, they do late spring break and they chase me. I finally got to a place that it's a little quiet. Now I thought,
you know, a chase would be when you're in a white Bronco,
like a slow speed chase. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we know what a chase is, OJ, and this doesn't look like a chase. I love too that the couple that's having the conversation 5 feet from him feels no need to stop talking while Juice is doing his nonsense.
Well, why would they?
No, I'm telling you, that's what I enjoy. I like let him do his thing. We're talking about nonsense.
The question I would be getting all day would be the question about the overtime rule of the NFL. Well, you know, I don't totally agree with it because I wish they would have done it like they do college, where both teams get the ball from like the 30-yard in and go in. But anything is better than what happened last year, to not see Josh Allen have an opportunity to keep that game going. Certainly, it hurt me. But the question I've been getting is Will Smith and Chris Rock. Hey, look, it was unfortunate. I think Will was wrong. Look, I understood the feeling. Now, in my life, I've been through a lot.
I bet you do.
You know,
I understand getting upset.
Why Will Smith didn't go up there and cut his head off, and maybe somebody's head off who'd brought him sunglasses too, that would have been more my thing. But you do you, Will.
Violence
Smith.
Isn't my thing.
A lot of crap when I was raising two young kids, and every comedian in the country had an OJ routine, and don't think I wouldn't want to be slapped a couple of those guys, but you got to accept it's humor, and I didn't even think that was all that egregious. I thought it was
what's that?
Yeah, Chris Rock's joke was not all that egregious. It was not all that egregious. You know, I was a single father raising two kids, and these comedians were doing their OJ jokes.
My wife decided to up and leave me.
Mama had a baby and her head popped off.
She got in a big argument and lost her head.
And I'm here in Delaware looking for the real killers. I was a single dad trying to raise these two kids all by myself because the mom left, you know, this mortal coil. And these comedians were making jokes and I wanted to B-slap them. But I didn't.
But
because
look at the restraint I showed.
You know, I think what we can all agree on here is I, O.J. Simpson, next to Will Smith, I look like I'm Mother Teresa.
Except it's humor, and I didn't even think that was all that egregious. I thought it was
It wasn't that egregious. What he said was not all that egregious.
Semi-unfunny joke, but I don't know. I don't get it. I know this. After what happened to me in Las Vegas, if I would have done that in front of a billion people watching around the world, they would have given me life without. I'm just saying, hey, take care.
As opposed to the, what was it, 8 years?
They gave Will Smith an Academy Award. If I had done that, they would have thrown me in jail.
I guess they did.
For some reason, people have a problem with me. I'll never understand it. Oh, Juice. Oh, you ridiculous. Number 32. That wasn't that egregious. I'm just saying. Two people standing there. He's all by himself. It's like this massive patio space. And he goes to do his video hit next to two people who are having a conversation. There's an entire empty space for him.
Whenever someone says that people have been asking me questions all day, mm-hmm. no one has asked you.
No, you're right. Anytime.
No one has asked you anything.
Anytime anyone.
The question I'm getting all day today, mm-hmm. no one.
Whenever anybody says, people always ask me.
Yeah, or asking me.
You're about to hear something that no one's ever asked them. It's a way of framing what you want to say, but you don't feel comfortable saying, here's my opinion.
Yeah.
You want to frame it in a way where it sounds like, I'm only saying this because the world wants
people to know. People are asking this of me.
So many people are asking me. No one's asking.
No, no one.
Who's coming up to you in Delaware and asking you?
Nobody.
Yeah. I'm on that other coast. These people, they chased me.
First in the nation, man.
Yeah, I get it. I've never been. I mean, I guess I shouldn't sit here and take shots at Delaware. It just does not seem to me to be like a place for spring break. But
the Blue Hens, right?
I believe that's correct.
Is that
yes.
Or is that Rhode Island?
No, Delaware's the Blue Hens.
Okay.
No, you're correct. Rhode Island are the Road Runners.
Are they? Or, no, they're not. No, they're not.
Am I wrong? It's the University of Delaware is the Blue Hens.
Okay.
You're absolutely right about
that. And what is Rhode Island?
Rhode Island
University. Other than the Road Runners?
University of Rhode Island?
Uh-huh.
That would be, Darren, they are the University of Rhode Island. Their mascot is the Rams.
The Rams.
Boring.
Gotcha, Rams.
Why wouldn't you be the Rhode Island Road Runners?
Yeah, and spell it R-H-O-D-E.
Of course. The Road Runners.
I like what you did there.
Well, I mean, I don't even think that's that clever. It seems pretty obvious. No,
I'm not saying it is, but I like what you're doing.
I don't know about genius, but
I wouldn't call myself a hero. But
I mean, a lot of people are asking me how I came up with that.
A lot of people are calling me hero.
I mean, if that's the term you're comfortable using, I guess I'll accept it. But you know, I'm not comfortable with that term.
Number
three.
Innovation meets luxury in this new Winnebago. No, it's a pizza innovation, Darren.
Uh-huh.
Scientists have figured out a way to make a pizza without any yeast.
It's science.
Working around the clock to make this happen, Italian scientists create pizza dough that rises without yeast. Exposing the dough to high-pressure gases can create a similar rise as fermentation. Now, why would you do this?
Yeah, what's the benefit?
Well, people have yeast allergies. Ernesto De Maio is a guy who is a material scientist. He lives in Naples, Italy. In Napoli, an allergy to yeast, it made him work. He has a severe yeast allergy. And if he eats regular pizza, he will break out in hives.
Oh, I just turn into a balloon.
It's not good. Now, his work published in the journal Physics of Fluids. And yes, we do subscribe to that journal. He and his colleagues say they've invented a yeast-free method of leavening pizza dough that tastes exactly like yeast pizza.
Huh.
Typical pizza doughs, like most breads, rely on yeast to ferment and produce carbon dioxide bubbles. And as the pizza bakes, the air bubbles are cooked into the dough, creating a crust with a light, fluffy, airy texture.
That's the way I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this guy with, again, the yeast allergy, who loves pizza, but doesn't love breaking out into hives. He and his team were curious to see if they could produce the same bubbly effect without yeast. The study co-author is one Rosanna Pasquino from the University of Naples. She's a chemical engineer. And she says the aim was to try and make the same texture we love so much of pizza without a chemical agent. The challenge that they kept running into was timing the pressure and getting the temperature just right to produce maximum bubbling when the dough was setting. One of the co-authors of this
study... Pump it up!
One of the co-authors of this study works part-time in an Italian pizzeria. He used a thermometer to measure the dough's temperature in a wood-fired oven. Because the device they use is roughly the size of a toaster oven, they ended up with a set of miniature pizzas. But they say it's nice and crusty and soft.
So tiny.
Mm-hmm. This dough not intended for everybody, but it is an alternative for those...
Well, not necessary for everyone.
Well, there's that. It's an alternative for people with dietary restrictions. They're also optimistic that this aeration technique might improve the texture of gluten-free pizzas as well. Probably more people with gluten intolerance than yeast intolerance, I'm guessing. I don't know. They had their big pizza expo. That's a big deal in Las Vegas.
I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, that just wrapped up last week. I saw the guys from...
Is this for everyone?
No, it's closed to the public. You have to be a pizza mover and shaker to get an invite to the pizza expo.
You mean like Shaky?
Exactly like Shaky. Although he wasn't able to attend this year.
Why is that?
He's been dead for 40 years. The National Association of Pizzeria Operators had their big pizza expo in Vegas last week. I saw the guys from Low Pies were posting a bunch of pictures from their hangout down there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
It is the world's largest pizza-only trade show. Pizza Expo, the only pizza industry event where you'll find more than 90 industry-specific seminars, workshops, and demonstrations. More than 500 companies with 1,100 booths.
Wow. Where to start?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, this is just for pizzeria owners to go and learn about different techniques.
None of your business.
There was a pizza unveiled called the Hot Date that features oven-roasted dates melted with gorgonzola and drizzled in a balsamic reduction sauce. People say it's perfect. In fact, that was the pizza that won Best in Show down there. For the Pizza Expo. There were some trends at Pizza Expo that we can use to make a pizza pie at home. One of the big trends was keto flour for people on the keto diet, right? Generally, you don't eat a lot of pizza if you're on a keto diet, but they're saying this flour is a game changer. Also, a lot of heat... figuratively and literally being given to the Pizza Master electric deck ovens. They're from Sweden. It says here the pizza oven was eye-catching with its gleaming metal and glass exterior and digital control panels. They say they've got 80 different models with 1,500 configurations.
Sure, an additional item to to put on your countertop.
I saw when I was at the hardware store the other day, they had a lot of displays for pizza ovens that you bake the pizza in your backyard.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for you.
I don't know, because...
You're a chicken guy in the backyard, aren't you?
I am. I've tried grilling pizza. It never works out. I don't need another damn thing in my backyard, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with the oven in my house.
For now.
Yeah, now you got me thinking. Uni pizza ovens, also a big deal at the Pizza Expo this year. Uni pizza ovens were something of a niche product that pizza super fans were purchasing at Williams and Sonoma. But now they've been running a major TV ad campaign, and you can get these Uni pizza ovens at places like Dick's Sporting Goods.
If you can find a Dick's Sporting Goods.
We have two of them in town. What are you talking
about? Do we?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I thought they were closed.
No. They're new. South Park and on Elmore. All of these Uni pizza ovens can get up to 950 degrees Fahrenheit. So that means at home in your backyard or wherever you want outside, you can cook true Neapolitan pizza in under 60 seconds. Is that the appeal?
I'm not in that big a rush.
Yeah, is that the appeal of these things? So if you get a pizza oven for your backyard, you're able to make a pizza in a minute?
Gonna burn my mouth.
Also making a big splash at this year's Pizza Expo, solo electric delivery vehicles. There's a company out of Arizona that was selling these to pizzerias that deliver. It's registered and insured as a motorcycle. And the thing is fully enclosed, has an insulated trunk for pizza box holders.
Has its own monkey driver.
And it can, no, it drives itself. And it says it can
reach.
Well,
then the monkey is just there for show.
It's a decorative monkey.
He's got a scarf and everything.
The solo electric.
Goggles, a little helmet.
Tell me you wouldn't get a pizza from the pizza monkey. That's a billion-dollar idea.
I hear him. I hear the monkey. He's screaming.
There's no app. You'll just...
He's screaming. The pizza's here. Yes. Oh, good. Good.
Pizza monkey.
I thought I was imagining things. No, the pizza's here.
Do I tip the monkey, the pizza monkey? What do I do? I don't know.
I've already done that.
These electric delivery vehicles, by the way, can go up to 80 miles an hour. Wow.
Hang on, monkey.
It says one person does drive the electric vehicle. It doesn't drive itself. That makes a little bit more sense. And then finally, another thing that people are buzzing about at the Pizza Expo, follow your heart cheese.
They've
improved their pizza cheese recipe so that it melts like traditional milk-based products like mozzarella.
But it's plant-based?
It's plant-based cheese, exactly.
Which plant do they use?
That I don't.
The cheese plant.
I guess people were going crazy for it. It tastes just like real cheese.
It's like the spaghetti trees.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
What a world.
I know. It's such a world of modern innovation, isn't it? What a world of wonders.
Hey, pal, what's your policy on making special orders?
I mean, we'll have the monkey deliver the pizza soon.
He'll let you know when it's here.
You'll know.
You'll know when you get hit in the face with crust.
When that 950 degrees Celsius pizza
monkey's
slaps
eating
in the
half
face.
Your pizza.
Number
four.
Animals do the darndest things. We love to highlight their wacky chronicles of the segment we call Dave and Darren's
Animal Farm. Talk to the animals.
Just imagine if chatting with a chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
I just finished this podcast that's all about Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin.
Easy.
And yeah, I learned some stuff. Animals do the darndest things. Here now with the stories, the charming and delightful old Uncle Darren.
Oh, little snot-nosed Davey.
Hi, Uncle Darren. Haven't done this bit in a while. We get started, gentlemen, in Florida, because why not?
Florida.
Where a troop of monkeys is delighting people at an airport. This is apparently at the runway of the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport.
Oh, where are the boys of the chorus?
They're not
a troop.
That's what it says here.
Uh-huh.
They're a delightful monkeys who
are... Is that a troop?
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
Is that troop with a U?
Yeah. No, two O's.
Oh.
The monkeys, I guess, live right by the airport, and people enjoy looking at them as they take off and land from the airport. A troop of monkeys.
You look down while you're taking off, and the monkeys are just shaking their heads. They can clearly see that there's a problem with the engine.
Yeah, what if you were, like, taking off and the monkey started screeching and pointing at the wing?
Oh!
That's not great. They seem pretty agitated by something. Maybe we should...
They don't like it.
Have that looked at. The monkeys live by the airport. The United States has no native monkeys, but these smallish vervets have roamed Dania Beach since the 40s. After a dozen were brought from West Africa, fled a now long-closed breeding facility and a roadside zoo. 40 of these monkeys are broken up into four troops that all live within 1,500 acres of each other and around the airport. I guess there are a couple different colonies of escaped monkeys all around Florida. Florida wildlife officials will often kill invasive species to protect native animals, but they tolerate these monkeys if they stay put. The monkeys are local celebrities, and their travails are detailed by television and newspapers down there. They're popular with visitors and nearby workers who feed the monkeys, despite signs that warn that that is completely illegal. One parking lot attendant tells the Associated Press, quote, "My friends are like, you have monkeys at your job?" She gives them raisins and nuts, and some will eat right from her hand, while others will snatch whatever food she's scattered. Travelers are often surprised to see the monkeys, and they squeal in delight and grab their cell phones, hoping for photos. Vervets are gray and black with a greenish tinge, which helps them blend into the trees. Males grow to about 2 feet and 15 pounds, and they can live to be 20 years old. At some point, one of these monkeys is going to eat someone's face, right?
Yeah. I'm going to take your face. I'm going to take your face.
But the monkeys are going to be all
right. Oh, yeah, the monkeys will be fine.
There's also this viral video of a crane down in Florida. There's a gator on a golf course, and the crane kind of swoops down and guides the gator off of the golf course.
Let's get out of here, you and I. This is no place for us.
Yeah, this massive bird comes down to the gator. It's a lot bigger than the alligator. But yeah, it's like he teaches the gator, like, you got to get out of here, man.
This is no good for anyone.
Mm-hmm. We gotta get you off of this course, because they will...
turn you into a purse real quick.
What's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone.
Mm-hmm. He's just saying. Meanwhile, a flamingo that escaped a Kansas zoo in 2005 has recently been spotted in Texas.
Huh.
One of two flamingos that escaped the Kansas zoo during a storm 17 years ago, spotted on the coast of Texas. The Coastal Fisheries Division of Texas Parks and Wildlife confirming that the African flamingo, who's known as number 492 because of the number on his leg band, was captured on video, shot by an environmental activist near Port Lavaca, Texas.
And when you say shot...
Mm-hmm. Captured on video. Yeah,
camera.
Yeah, right. The bird and another flamingo escaped from the Sedgwick County Zoo in Wichita on a stormy night in June 2005.
Stormy night in Wichita.
I am a flamingo in the county. I gotta get the hell out of here. Employees had not yet clipped the bird's wings to prevent them from flying, which made the escape much easier. The other flamingo was never seen again, but number 492 has been spotted several times in Wisconsin, Louisiana, and Texas. Sometimes with other wild flamingos, officials say it had been a year or two since this bird was last seen in Texas. Leaves Kansas to go to Wisconsin, Louisiana, and Texas. I had no idea flamingos had that kind of range. Zoo officials say that they have no plans to recapture number 492 despite the sightings, saying that there would be no easy way to do it without disturbing the other wildlife. The escaped flamingos are known for their distinct pink feathers, long legs, and necks. Born in Africa and shipped to the Kansas Zoo in 2004, with 39 other flamingos. And finally, on the animal farm, while we're in Wisconsin, a herd of deer run amok at a Wisconsin bar. Dublin's Irish Pub got an unexpected visit from a bunch of deer, left a lot of broken glass in their wake.
Got my ass kicked by those deer.
The Facebook post from this Dublin Irish Pub in over by Oshkosh, over by there. They say, we had an unexpected guest that decided to use our window as the entrance. And then there's video that shows this herd of deer just destroying the bar. They jump over a short brick wall near the entrance and run amok in the sidewalk. And one deer crashes through the window at the pub.
Yep, it happens.
Uh-huh. Is the deer going to be all right?
It's open.
Well, it's unclear what happened to the lone deer who struck out on his own.
Cut up pretty good.
Photos post-invasion show broken glass littering the inside and outside of the Irish pub. The video also shows a couple of deer attempting to hop the small wall, but instead falling down. Within seconds, the deer that had run into the pub disappeared. Someone commenting here, maybe that deer just wanted a Bloody Mary. Do you blame him?
You really can't. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered what it was.
Well, there you go. Just wanted a Bloody Mary. I can't stay mad at that deer over by
there. That's when the tank came crashing in. The tank probably just wanted a Bloody Mary. Can you blame it?
That's David Darren's
Animal Farm.
Number five.
Someone said this week in front of a billion people that love makes you do crazy things. And, you know, also making you do crazy things is being crazy. I think that's probably a much more logical explanation for the events of this week. There's the story of a guy, a Vietnamese man, who had to be rescued by a Thai fishing boat after attempting to cross the Andaman Sea in an inflatable boat. And he was doing it because he was in search of his wife. Last week, the Royal Thai Navy got a report from the captain of a fishing trawler about a small inflatable boat. Picture like one of those little rafts that like you might see in someone's pool.
Yeah.
This guy was in the small inflatable boat in the middle of the sea, 80 kilometers from the shore. He was there with some luggage, an almost empty tank of drinking water, and some instant noodles.
Just in case.
I could eat.
You know, they're not that great when they're dry and not hot.
Oh, I got all this salt water, though, I can cook it in.
How are you going to cook it?
Oh, I hadn't thought that all the way through.
I've made a huge mistake.
The man didn't speak Thai or English. And they wanted to put him in the boat, and he refused to get off because he thought they were going to kill him.
What are you going to do to me?
So they decided to tow him in his boat back to safety. Look at this. I mean, it's like an inner tube that this knucklehead's in.
It's not bad.
You wouldn't want to be out in the ocean in
that. No, not me.
Thai Marines intercepted the fishing boat and tried speaking with the rescued man, but they couldn't get a lot out of him. A Vietnamese interpreter was brought in. And officials learned that the man named Ho Hung Hung was on a desperate mission to search for his wife in India. He lost contact with her 2 years ago because of the COVID-19 pandemic and was hoping to reconnect.
What's his name again?
Ho Hung Hung.
Okay.
The 37-year-old man apparently had flown into Bangkok from Ho Chi Minh City on March 2nd. Hoping he could then take a flight to Mumbai, India.
Flew into Bangkok.
Unfortunately, he had trouble securing a visa and couldn't go through with the plan, so he just traveled to Pattaya instead, where he bought his blue and yellow inflatable boat and started his journey on March 5th. They pulled him out of the ocean a week ago. He told the Thai authorities he was prepared to paddle all the way to India. Paddle?
I'll do it. I'll paddle all the way.
Across the Indian Ocean. Unfortunately, after 18 days at sea, he was only 80 kilometers away from the coast of Thailand. If nothing bad had happened to him, he would have reached his goal in 625 days. I forgot why I even got in the boat. Why did I even get in the boat?
What am I doing?
What the hell? What was the point of any of this? He had 10 packs of instant noodles and a little bit of water. He had enough provisions to maybe last him a few more days, but not another 20 months. Also, it's worth pointing out that there's a cyclone that's brewing in the Bay of Bengal. And, yeah, that would have not been something you'd want to be dealing with in a tiny inflatable raft. Despite his failure to plan his voyage, his determination impressed the Thai Navy. They tweeted here, no matter how big the ocean is, it cannot get in the way of this man's true love. He's been offered temporary accommodation until they can figure out how to get him back with his wife. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if he's able to get back with his wife, then maybe it was all worth it. But
but then again, maybe not.
He did what? No, I don't want to see him. What did he do?
What kind of noodles?
You can't stop him. He's too insane.
What kind of noodles did that ridiculous man have in that boat?
How much water?
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's going to do it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading and subscribing and listening and
wow.
And all of it.
Was a thing.
We're going to do is this right? We're doing another one of our patron shows this week?
We are.
All right, so, well, more on that.
We love you, patrons. Oh, yes, we do.
How do people become a patron if they want to?
I think you just go to daveanddarren.com, right?
I mean, you would think we would understand how that works, but I'm not sure that we do. But that is right. Yes, daveanddarren.com.
Give them another dollar.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you gotta do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.